Blog Talk Radio.
Truly, God is great and greatly to be praised. Praise the Lord, everybody. You have tuned into the Prospering Soul broadcast, and we are on the line this evening just to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and the good news of what God has done in our life and in the lives of all of his people. We thank God for it. This is our foundational series teaching. Our mission is to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ derived from God's revelation to the lost and to disciple souls to live godly according to the word of God and according to God's principles. That is our purpose and our mission, and to pour a foundation to build a temple for godly living. So we're thankful today just to be on the broadcast, and we're going to continue today in a baptism series, and we will be finishing that up hopefully today. If not, then we'll go another day, a week. But we're beginning to talk about, last week we were beginning to talk about spirit baptism, a baptism of the Holy Spirit, and we were talking about that, and so we're going to continue in that direction today. And so we have some questions from people that are raising questions, and so we're going to answer those questions. But we're so thankful for all of those that will be calling in, those that will be listening in, those that will be listening in to the broadcast later. And on the archives, we thank God for each and every one of you that continue to do that. And we thank you for your support in that, in doing that. And we hope that the Word of God is being a blessing to you. We hope it's always falling on good ground and that it will be a blessing to those that hear it. Because we want you to be hearers of the Word and doers also. Also, we will want people to be willing and obedient, and we want them to have faith and works with it. So that's our purpose. And so we're going on today to continue on with our baptismal series in our foundation. And then we'll move on to our next topic eventually when the Lord tells us to do so. And so we're so thankful for that. I thank you, Lord, for everybody that's on the line today. I'm so thankful for all of those that support and those that teach and help out. It's such a blessing. I'm so excited and so thankful, and I'm forever grateful to God for just blessing us with that, with those that help in every way that they can. And we thank you, Lord, for even those that are calling in and those that are listening from abroad. We even had some listeners from overseas last week, and so we thank God for that. And so we don't take it lightly because we are humbled by all the things that God does for us and how he uses us for the gospel, and that we are vessels unto honor, sanctified and meet for his use. So we're thankful for that. We're going to have a word of prayer, and then we're going to move on and allow our teachers to take it from there. And then I have some questions that I'll ask them as we go along, and we'll take it from there. And then, of course, anybody can jump in and answer. And so we're just thankful for that. But, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this day. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you, Lord, that you are our shepherd, and we shall not want. We thank you, Lord, for the word of God that is rich and powerful, and it says what it says is sharper than any two-edged sword. So, Lord, we thank you for the word of God today. We ask you, Lord, to bless this broadcast today. Let it reach all of those that need this word, Lord, that will be blessed with it and that they will be able to stand on a firm foundation because of the word of God. We ask you to bless our teachers today. Touch them, Lord Jesus, and anoint them with the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, let them be anointed, oh God, that they will teach your word and it will be a blessing to us that will be hearing it. And so, God, we thank you today. Cover us with your blood as always, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord. God bless you.
God bless you. Thank God for Elder Dotson being on the line. I see Elder Poston's on the line, and I think Elder Russell's on the line, and I think that might be Minister Terry and Minister Henry on the line. So I thank God for each and every one of you that are on the line. And so we're just going to go on. I'm going to hand it over to you and Elder Poston. I know you all will give us a recap of what's been going on, and then we'll take from there. And I do have questions, so we'll go from there. Whenever y'all ready for them, let me know. God bless you.
Just to start off with our recap, bless the Lord, everyone. Oh, our souls and all that is within us, let us praise his holy name. We're just going to do a little recap from Acts 2 and 39, which talked about the Holy Ghost being a promise unto you, and Acts 2:40 was speaking about saving yourselves from the generation that is untoward Christ. And then we went to Corinthians 5:17, which was talking about becoming a new creature by the infilling of the Holy Ghost, a new generation of believers that are new men clothed in righteousness and walking in holiness. And what does this do? It prepares you for the kingdom of God, which changes you. It changes your nature, your culture, and your conscience. As it was said in the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. His kingdom in us, here on earth, by the infilling of the Holy Ghost that caps last Sunday. Amen?
Amen.
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 So do you all want me to start with the questions, or are you all going to continue on?
Elder Poston, where do we want to start?
I would say you can go ahead and start in the questions. Elder Dotson just covered pretty much what we had talked about last week, the scripture references. And before that, we've been reviewing on the meaning of baptism, what it means to get baptized. We also had some testimonies last week about people's or individuals' personal experience with being baptized. And we're talking about being baptized in water and what they went through to get to an understanding of what the scripture was saying about being baptized. So I think if you want to, you could just start off with some questions and see where we go from there.
Amen.
Okay. Amen. So the first question I have is, well, it's a basic question. So none of it's basic, because anytime you deal with the Holy Spirit, it's more than that. It says, what is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And we've been talking about it, but just to recap it, recap that. What is actually the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And I got in my notes, it says that the baptism of the Holy Spirit may be defined as the work whereby the Spirit of God places the believer into union with Christ and into union with other believers in the body of Christ at the moment of salvation. It says the baptism of the Holy Spirit was predicted by John the Baptist in Mark 1 and 8 when he says, and by Jesus before he ascended in heaven. But for John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit, Acts 1 and 5. And then it says this promise was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2, 1 through 4, and for the first time, people were permanently, permanently indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and the church had begun.
I'm looking for reference that I was reading earlier this week. You're talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because if you do some study in the Old Testament and some of the men that God had called to do great things, throughout the scripture it gives us examples and it tells us that the Spirit of God came upon these men to perform God's will and great works as they left Israel. But my point in that is, that wouldn't be what I would consider being baptized in the Holy Spirit. The Spirit came upon them, and it references that it didn't always stay with them. And one character, I mean, you can look at is Saul. When he was made the first king, in the beginning it was all good, but the Spirit of God did not stay with him as he progress on through your study. So there's a difference between the Spirit of God coming on you and being baptized in the Spirit of God, or being what we would call, because when I say baptized, I'm referring to the infilling. That's where I'm at. So if anybody got a different take on that, you know, you can interject. But just to make clarity that the Spirit of God can come on you, but that doesn't necessarily mean the Spirit of God, you have that infilling of God's Spirit.
And I think that's very good, because in the Old Testament it does continue to talk about how the Spirit came upon them. And so, do we think that then? This is my question. I have this question that's also one of the questions on the page. So when someone goes up and accepts Christ and says, and they say, I want to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
Does the Spirit come upon them then, or is it after? I mean, or is it after they're baptized? Because then the question was, is it necessary for me to get baptized in order to get the Holy Spirit?
Exactly. I would say that you can receive the Holy Spirit without having been baptized. It just depends on the circumstances of your conversion or your experience with God at that point. Because I was filled with God's Spirit before I was actually submerged in the water being baptized. But then I had been baptized when I was a lot younger. So you can look at both ways. But I don't think that I can say that God, you have to be baptized before you can receive the Spirit of the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
I agree with Elder Poston. We're dealing with an immutable God that does what he wants to do when he wants to do it. So to say there's an order when it comes to God, he is a God of order. But if he wants to fill you before you get baptized, I mean, that's totally up to him. Amen?
Amen. Amen. I agree. Do we have any more comments on that particular question?
Yeah, I want to say, though, but they are equally required and are of necessity.
Yes.
So yeah. You can't, you know, alleviate one, or one is more important than the other. They both have a distinct purpose in God's plan and in the process that he takes us through, and they are required.
Amen. Just like talk about the process of salvation, in the process of salvation, you go through the process of baptism, infilling, and seeking God. It's all in there. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Then my next question is, do Christians receive the Holy Spirit when they are saved? If so, how is this experience different from the baptism in the Holy Spirit? So it's two key points there. Receive the Holy Spirit and being baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So in my notes it says, when a person accepts Christ, the Holy Spirit begins a great work in their life. The Spirit convicts them of sin, convinces them of righteousness, and dwells within them. That's John 6:44, and then 14 and 17, and also we read Romans 8:9 And so we might want to get those scriptures. 1 Corinthians 12:13, it says, no one becomes a Christian without this gracious work of the Holy Spirit. However, there's an additional and distinct ministry of the Holy Spirit called the baptism in the Holy Spirit. The baptism is an empowering gift from God and the Father, and from God the Father, that is promised to every believer. And it helps Christians to live holy, a holy life, and also brings a new devotional attachment to Jesus Christ, making him very real and precious. The primary purpose of the baptism is to give greater power for witnessing, Acts 1:8. And then other benefits include a greater joy in spiritual service and heightened sense of one's mission in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Well said.
Yeah. Anybody else have any comments on that?
Yes, I do. Hello, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Well, this is my thought about when you get saved and you love the Lord, and God starts dealing with you. Remember what you were saying about you would come to the altar and when you were seeking the Holy Ghost, but while you were seeking him, before you were filled with the Holy Ghost, there was something that God had already done in you that made you want to go after and seek after him. And I believe that was his Spirit on you to and you know, because whom God draws you, so you got to have a spirit, because you know we messed up without God's Spirit all the way around.
Exactly.
Elder Dodson, I don't know if you heard him, but he said he was making reference to the scripture that says that the scripture says no man comes to the Father unless the Spirit draws him. So there's got to be something that God does to you. So I believe that's the Holy Ghost on you to get you to get to him to have the infilling. That's my opinion.
Yes. Are there any other comments?
Well, I just want to read a little. It says, we are filled with the Holy Spirit by faith. How did you become a Christian? By faith. It is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not from yourself. It is a gift from God, not by work, so that anyone can boast. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord and can continue to live in him, you receive Christ by faith, you live by faith. Everything you receive from God from the moment of your spiritual birth until you die is by faith. You do not want to be filled. Do you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? You can be filled right now by faith. It's by faith. And to go on, the article is talking about you don't have to beg and plead God to be filled with the Spirit, but you just have to get yourself in alignment and begin to receive it by faith.
I was trying to.
I'm trying to find scriptures too, but my, this little touch pad, you hit something and it throws you to a whole other page. So we got.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to find it too. Because I'm thinking that there was a passage of scripture, and I'll look for it. I won't talk about it until I find it. But anyway, are there any other comments on that particular question? Okay, so we'll go on to the next one. And if you all have anything else you want to, you know, teach about, let me know. Then it says, who should be baptized in the Holy Spirit? I mean, these are some questions. And my answer to that is all believers. All believers should be baptized in the Holy Spirit. It says when believers are assembled in prayer, when they were assembled in prayer on the day of Pentecost, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And it says not one of them was left out. It was not just the apostles who were filled, but all the men and all the women in the place was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then the Apostle Peter addressed the onlookers and told them that they should be filled. And he said, the promise is for you and your children and for all of those afar off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. And as Peter said, the baptism in the Holy Spirit is for every believer in every generation. It is an all-inclusive promise of universal dimension. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is promised to every Christian believer.
Yeah. And the scriptures that come to mind when you ask that question is, that, of course, Acts 2 and 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Then jumping down to John 3 and 5, or going back to John 3 and 5, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Hence, what we were talking about, they are required both. They are.
Go ahead.
Everybody, like you said, all believers, because Jesus is telling us that except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So Jesus there is saying that both of these things are necessary. So who? All believers. And there's another scripture, Mark 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. So when you say all believers, yes, all believers.
Mm-hmm. It's a promise to all believers. So then this question right here is going to debate with that particular, I mean, well, it doesn't really debate with it because the promise is to all believers. That is the promise. But then this question says, can a person receive eternal life in heaven without the baptism in the Holy Spirit? If so, why should we be baptized in the Spirit?
Well, the thing that comes to my mind when I hear that question is, when you know better, you do better. I can't say that if somebody hasn't been introduced to it and then something happens and God takes them, that that's going to keep them out of heaven. But because when I was younger, and I don't want to call it the denomination, but we're going to say when I was not walking in Pentecost, didn't know about Pentecost and holiness and stuff like that, then, you know, I didn't know. I was ignorant. But then once I became aware, then I am expected to comply. So
yes.
If you know, yes, it's required. And if you question it, then you're required to seek an answer. And that's all a part of God's Spirit drawing you, where he says, with love and kindness have I drawn you. So to say that I'm not going to study about it because then I'm going to be held accountable for it, you in error right there because you know there's something else you're supposed to know.
Right. Well, here's something to note. Here's what my note says. It says, receiving eternal life does not depend on being baptized in the Holy Spirit, for salvation is by grace through faith alone. Habakkuk 2:4, John 6:28-29, Galatians 3:6, 5:6, Ephesians 2:8. It is a gift purchased for us by Christ when he was crucified. All we have to do is accept the gift, just as the repentant thief on the cross next to Jesus was assured of entering paradise. That was that very day. So we too are assured a place in heaven with the Father. If we believe in Jesus Christ, it is most unfortunate that some have said, unless you have spoken in tongues, you will not go to heaven. This is not true. It is contrary to the scripture.
Okay, I think that question is dealing with a whole lot more than just the topic of being baptized and being baptized with the Spirit. Because Acts 2:41 says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day they were added about 3,000 souls into church. So,
right.
Once they receive, they follow the instruction because they were exposed to it, and now they know.
Right.
I think
what I really took from that question was that if somebody say somebody was on their deathbed, and the chaplain came in and asked them some questions, and then prayed a prayer with them, and they were saved. Then they have eternal life.
Right.
That's what that's saying. So I think that's what they're saying. There are circumstances where, you know, that might not be the case. Just like with the thief on the cross.
Well, like Acts 10:47 says, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? But then I want to put this out there. Well, I don't understand why, and I hope this isn't, don't be taken the wrong way, but, you know, it is what it is. Why are we spending so much effort and energy trying to find a loophole? If this is what God has said to do, then just accept it, like he just said, gladly received his full word, or baptized.
Now, now you talking about somebody's in the hospital and they don't – just pray that you that ain't you and that you don't have to come to ask yourself that question. And because you're being exposed to this now, it's not you. So you won't fall into that category.
I agree. I think that, you know, if this is what the Word of God is saying for us to do, then that's what we should follow. Regardless of whatever, that's what we should follow. Any other comments?
Well, I'd like to make a comment. You know, some things, I guess, are circumstantial. Like being a nurse, there are many times I get the opportunity to witness and even lead them to the Lord. And you know, they accept Christ. And then they may die that night or the next morning, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't have the opportunity to be baptized, you know.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess the word we're speaking of is, you know, in circumstances like that, like the thief on the cross, you know.
Yeah.
Right. But I guess my point is,
mm-hmm.
pray that you don't find yourself in that situation. Now, we don't know if that person hadn't had any other exposure or opportunity or even made up their mind before they're on their deathbed to give their life to the Lord, and God being merciful and gracious who he is, and they do that then they have made it in. But if they were not sick and they were fine, but they just want to buck the system because they don't want to get their hair wet, then no, you're wrong. You know what I'm saying? But don't wait. God forbid you have a deathbed experience. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Why risk it? Because if you get, okay, this is also a possibility. If you are in that situation, Sister Russell might not be the nurse to come in there to witness and lead you to Christ. Then you might get some morphine and go to sleep, and then you don't have a chance. So today, while you have a chance, choose ye this day.
Mm-hmm. You know, you're right. You're right about that. It's just a miracle that some people, by chance, do at the last moment, a few minutes, decide to accept Christ as their Savior.
Right.
You know. But it's just by chance.
Right.
By mama's prayer, some, you know, save my child. but they've had horrible experiences of sickness. I mean,
right.
Very painful sickness. And by chance, sometimes the nurse is not present, and I take that nurse's place.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that the person is dying, and I usually ask the family, have they accepted Christ as their Savior? And they say no. And I say, is it okay that I leave them, you know, to Christ? And they'll say yes. And I'll ask the patient, and he'll say yes. And I'll tell him a little something about Christ and so, and then ask him, are you willing to repent and accept him? And they'll, you know, and they'll say yes. So I lead them through the plan of salvation. And matter of fact, that guy passed away 2 hours later.
Right. And I think that's
so, but you don't never know if, like you were saying, you never know if that opportunity is going to come. So you don't want to take a chance.
Right.
You know.
And Acts 22:16 says, and now why tarriest thou? Now that you know, why you wait?
Yeah, so if we know what is required, then we should be.
Right. And I want to interject this, too, because this is important. Because, I was one of them people that said, you know, I didn't want to go over there to that holiness church. They don't think nobody's saved with them. I won't be bothered with them and all that kind of stuff. But my experience was when I had an experience that I didn't understand, that didn't excuse me from I had to find out what this was that happened to me. So I can't be exposed to the teaching and then just step back and say, well, you know, that's them and I don't know. I've been exposed to it. If I don't understand it, then I need to seek to get an understanding. I hope I'm saying it clearly.
Well, the word says, seek and you shall find, knock on the door shall open, so we should seek.
Because you may not have...
Go ahead.
What? I'm saying because you may... God is gracious. And so for the young, the man that you were able to go in there and lead to Christ, that's only by God's grace.
And
but we might, you know, if you get in a car accident or somebody shoots you or blow up and you go like that, but God has not, has God not been gracious beforehand, but you didn't seek to understand? That's
it's
what we
right.
mean. There's always going to be extreme, there can always be extreme cases, but I think, and I love talking about it, and
mm-hmm.
but the basic foundation principles, we're going on the premise of you well, you're in your right mind, you got
get
the
back.
Faculty of your limbs, and you just did not know, so we're teaching you about it. And so now that you are being exposed to it, what you going to do with it?
Bottle through.
And this is a point I want to make when I was listening to Elder Russell talking about that and just the opportunity she had to minister to that person and to lead them to Christ. That's why we have to be ready.
Mm-hmm.
At all times, any of us, because we never know when we will have to be used at such a time. It doesn't have to be at the hospital. It could be somebody just sitting next to you that, and you start talking to them about Christ. We have to be ready to lead people to Christ, and it's important. And what that also said to me is we could be in any job capacity, and that opportunity may present itself. But we as Christians need to be ready. And I know we have, you know, laws governing it, but if that person is asking you and talking to you about it, then that's a different situation. But we should try to never let somebody that is inquiring of us about those things, let them walk away, because we never know.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
if
you know,
right.
You know, it's just amazing that how merciful God is,
yes.
And how much He loves us. Because several times I've had patients that did not belong to me. The nurse was out, and I happened to have that patient that day. You know, it seemed like God orchestrated that for me to be in that particular place for that patient that day.
Mm-hmm.
And I've encountered that on several occasions. You know. That and then when that happens, and they tell me, well, this patient, he may not make it through the night, and I know it's not my patient, but can you take him today? Then I feel like in my heart that God has called me to witness to that patient,
right.
or talk to him. And so I usually go ahead and follow through, because I had one patient I had to work on all day. I didn't force him. But I talked about the Lord to him all day. He said God didn't love him. His brother didn't love him. Did nobody love him? But I said, but God loves you.
Right.
You know. And I said, are you a gambler? He said, yes. I said, well, you better gamble all internal life. So we had a talk. But I was just saying, what do you have to lose? You know, you don't believe in anything. But we talked all day. And finally, when it was almost time for me to go, and I said, well, Lord, I did all I could do. He said to me, he said, I'll accept him.
Right.
That was an all-day thing. And then I went to him. We talked. I led him to the Lord. He repented of his sins. And he died that night.
Mm-hmm.
But God was merciful to that man, you know.
Well,
he had a lot
of
hatred, a lot of anger.
Mm-hmm.
But just talking and just showing love to him and kindness, you know, I guess it sinked in.
You thank the Lord for that. But like Elder Tyson, like what you both are just saying, this just jumped out at me. Matthew 28:19. Listen to this for one little second. It says,
okay.
Go ye, Matthew 28:19.
Mm-hmm.
It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Now that happens before we get to baptizing them.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying? So,
mm-hmm.
so
yeah.
That's where the exposure to the information, the exposure to the knowledge, and like you said, Elder Bryson, that we have to be ready to answer any man or at all times, because the teaching, the exposure to the information has to happen first. That's what Jesus said. Go ye therefore. He didn't say go ye therefore and baptize. He said go ye therefore and teach.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God.
Yeah. Does anybody else have any comments on those particular on that discussion?
You know, I just want to say this. I believe that every day we have an opportunity to share Christ, and we'll be open and be ready and just and be in tune with what the person is saying or doing. I mean, every day God has a work for us to do, just to be aware of it. You know, just to be in tune to what this person wants, what this person. So we just got to be open to what God wants us to do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he will reveal that to us, you know.
Yeah.
Hunger to give his word, you know, to lead them to the plan, in the plan of salvation.
Okay. So does anybody else have any other comments about those that topic? Okay.
Yes, I have something I want to say, and I cannot.
Okay.
Oh, y'all, forgive me. I cannot think about this scripture. I mean, I can't think of the exact words, but what Jesus Christ, and I may be jumping back to something, but it kind of stuck with me. I couldn't find the scripture. It said when we were talking about people being saved and who can be saved, remember in the scriptures where Jesus Christ told them, they were saying, well, Lord, these people are trying to do what we're doing. And didn't he say, like, leave them alone for those who aren't against me?
Mm-hmm. Or for you, yeah.
Yeah, and so that made me go back to think. That scripture came a long time ago. I know it sounds kind of like I'm rambling off, but that is when we were talking about people receiving the Holy Ghost and who can receive the Holy Ghost. Well, the Lord himself was saying, you know, there are some that don't necessarily believe the way he was telling them, the way you're doing, but if they're not against me, then they're for me. And so I thought that was a very valuable lesson when I read it, you know, that the Lord doesn't want us to think that we're more than what we are, because salvation and being filled with the Holy Ghost is for all. And some people may do it a different way, but the Lord deals with the heart. I mean, I'm not doing it a different way, but they'll eventually come around to the Lord, but we cannot take away from what someone already has. And for the life of me, I cannot find that scripture. I know you all are familiar with it. And we were thinking it was around where he had talked to the 70, because they were coming back. I believe it was. He was saying, Lord, well, you know, we were casting out devils. Well, maybe not there, but I know Jesus Christ said it. We were sitting up here trying to find it.
That brings to mind when you read the Old Testament, when God has given them the law, we gave to Moses, the Moses and the children of Israel, and then he says, not only is it given to them, but those, your male servant, your maid servant, and those that dwell with them. And then, so those are other people that were with them that weren't of them. You see what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Naomi, did she leave her people and say, you know, whether you go, I'll go, and your God shall be my God?
Yes. Yeah. Right.
I hope this is Henry. This is Henry. Concerning the piggyback on the question, sister, that you just asked, who can receive the Holy Ghost? I don't know what that person means, but the Holy Ghost is God. God is a spirit. The Holy Ghost is God working agent in the earth, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have a lasting life. As far as receiving the Holy Ghost, I don't know what the person is actually talking about, but anybody who comes into the family of God is saved, and anybody who is saved has the Spirit of God in them. That is the Holy Spirit. When Jesus said that to Nicodemus, that Jesus replied, "Tell you a solemn truth, unless a person is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And what does that mean, being born from above? Well, that is the change. Unless a person totally commits his life to God through Jesus Christ and receives salvation and receives the Spirit, that person cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, while John was showing, baptizing people, calling them to repentance, Jesus' death seals that. So anybody who is saved, once you have given your life to Jesus, the Spirit of you are baptized. You know what? The Spirit of God comes into you. And this has nothing to do with, first of all, speaking in another language or speaking in tongues, like somebody said. But the Spirit of God comes into you. Now, whatever that experience would be at the time, may not be exactly like the way it happened to the apostles or other people. Because when I gave my life to God and was baptized, I didn't speak in anything. But it doesn't mean I didn't have the Holy Ghost. I didn't have the Spirit of God in me that brings about change. So I think, you know, those are two different things. Because once you receive God, you have the Spirit of God in you. Jesus now lives inside of you. And then you become a disciple. Anthony talked about the teaching, going to the world and teach. Well, when you teach and then you hear and then you baptize, you come into the family of God. So even if somebody, Cornelius and them already had a good knowledge, this family heard, and then the Holy Spirit fell upon them, they received and started speaking. But if you notice, it didn't stop there. In order for them to enter into the kingdom of God, they had to be baptized. That's where you enter now, into the kingdom of God. That is not, you cannot reject that. So anybody who receives salvation and is saved, you have the Holy Ghost. You have the Spirit of God inside of you, living with you.
Does anybody else have any comments on that?
What is John 3 and, wait a minute.
John 3 and 5?
3 and 3.
Elder Poston, while you're looking for that, maybe someone can help me with what Minister Henry said, but because I believe that the Holy Ghost does come in you. I really do, and, you know, and then later, but I do believe once the Spirit of God comes in you, I do believe that the tongues will eventually come up. I believe that'll come out because, you know, that's a way of communicating in the Spirit and the Lord dealing with you. I do believe that when you're actually filled with the Holy Ghost, it may not, you know, it may not come on you right then, but I do believe eventually those tongues will come.
Yeah, and what Henry is talking about is just a little bit breaking it down a little bit further. From when you first accept Christ as your Savior, God's Spirit is in your heart. But that's different than being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And it reads, I had the scriptures. I'm trying to find it. I understand what he's saying. There's God's Spirit in your heart when you accept him, and then the baptism of the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. which is what we're talking about happening in Acts.
Oh, please, Minister Henry, don't think that I was disagreeing with you, because what you were saying is true. I was just coming back because this is what I believe, that I believe that the Holy Ghost will, as I said, will come forth in tongues. And what he said was correct. That was just my opinion. I just felt like I needed to say that also.
Yeah. I mean, nobody's disagreeing. I think he's just making the distinction between the baptism of the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. versus you giving your heart to God and God's Spirit coming into your heart at that time that you say, Lord, I want to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, you're not agreeing at all. I mean, you're saying what is right and what is true. Matter of fact, one of the things that Paul teaches in 1 Corinthians, now, although we saw the apostles asking, since you were baptized, that you received the Holy Ghost, the question is, when they say that, is this saying that they don't have Christ in them? It doesn't necessarily mean that. We also see that when Paul teaches about this in 1 Corinthians 14, he calls it a gift. He said a gift. It's a gift of the Spirit to be able to do that and speak in other language and speak in the language of the Spirit, in which, you know, later on, he said that he speaks the language of angels, and which is interesting. He did not say he spoke human language, because tongue is pretty much human language. But Paul also said that he spoke the language of angels. So definitely it had to be another language. When we think about it, even when we think about Romans 8 and 26, the Spirit interceding with groanings. Now, we know we cannot jump to tongues first to hear that, but there is something that happens in us sometimes that we groan, we don't understand what to pray about, and we sigh. But then I also think that tongues is also associated with that too. So Paul called it a gift in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. So definitely you're right, we got to think about it in those terms. Just because a person doesn't speak in this language, it doesn't mean they don't have the Holy Spirit. It doesn't mean they don't have the Spirit of God. Now, the gift of the language being baptized in the Holy Ghost, that can happen if a person desires it, if a person prays for it, based on how it happens. Now, with Cornelius, they didn't say they prayed for it. While Peter and them were talking, bam, they just started speaking. God saw fit to baptize them in it. So I think we're on the right track pretty much. You're not saying anything different from what I'm saying.
Right. And, you know, in John, let me read a little bit of this. John chapter 20, starting at verse 19, it says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then Jesus said to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost.
Definitely, Brother Anthony. Now, what happened? Now, I will ask you, what happened when he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Ghost? What happened?
Well, then Jesus went on to say, whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted, and unto them, whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained.
But we definitely didn't see them speaking in any language or anything yet.
Right. They didn't
Go ahead.
They might not have spoken any other language, but if you notice, he was telling them that because he's getting ready to leave. He told them, before I kept you, since while I was here, I was able to keep you. But I'm going to leave, and I'm going to send you a comforter. The Holy Ghost is more, it is a gift, but he's our comforter. He does what Jesus did on earth with the disciples for us. He's our teacher. He's our guide. He does a lot of work, because without him,
the sanctification that's progressive that we talked about weeks ago would not be, we would not be able to keep it up. It's the Holy Ghost that helps the flesh to stay under subjection of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So we need the Holy Ghost. If we're going to keep living, you need the Holy Ghost so you can survive in this world. But if you get saved and accept Christ in your life and you die, well, you're not living anymore, so you're already kept. But you need the Holy Ghost to keep you so you can keep that salvation, to keep you sealed until the day of redemption. That's why we have the Holy Ghost.
Let me say this.
And you don't speak in tongues when you first receive it, but there should be evidence to coming forth, like the sister said before, somewhere, if you're still living, somewhere, because your heavenly language should come forth to show there's a communication with you and God, so you can have a heavenly communication with Him.
Yeah, that's a good point. But the evidence too, about receiving Christ and having the Spirit of God, the evidence of it is the fruit.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It is the thing, but there is a difference.
When
we first accept Christ, the Holy Ghost comes up on us. When we get
definitely.
The baptism of the Holy Ghost, the indwelling of the Spirit, because there is a difference. You can tell the difference in if we went through the many stages. Some people get it all at once. Some people get it in stages. Some people receive the Holy Ghost, the process in stages. If you don't get the Holy Ghost when you first accept Christ, there is a difference. You struggle to stay saved. You struggle. And when you receive the Holy Ghost, you can tell the difference because you have that keeping power that helps you grow in what you've been taught, and it helps you grow, and it gives you that desire to want to go seek after things of God, to search after the mysteries of God that we do not understand, to ask God for clarity. That's what the Holy Ghost does for us. But when you don't have the Holy Ghost, you don't really have that guidance. You're depending on your preacher. You're depending on your sister. You're depending on people. But as you grow in Christ and allow the, as you've been taught, and then you allow the Holy Ghost to begin to teach you even further, your discernment kicks in, and you begin to seek God for wisdom so you can have direction and be able to live in this life for your life so you can follow the path that He's destined for you and not for somebody else. It's not. It's just whatever God has set the path for you. And that's what the Holy Ghost, it leads you into all truth, because we can get caught up in a whole lot of different beliefs, different, all kind of things that are debatable. But the Holy Ghost will lead us in all truth, and it will correct even our own understanding or interpretation if we allow Him.
Yeah, that's a good point, because nobody can walk without the Spirit of God. And nobody can be saved without the Spirit of God. Nobody can be changed without the Spirit of God. So when Jesus is telling Nicodemus in chapter 3, except a man is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You need the Spirit of God to bring about transformation. The blood did its part. You give your life to God. You need it. Then the Spirit of God comes into you, and that brings about transformation. Now, there are many persuasions on this, but the reality, yes, the idea of the evidence of tongue speaking, that's another aspect of it. But the evidence, the first evidence, is not necessarily one who speaks in the language. The evidence is that the Holy Spirit comes into you. You see changed life. You see the way people behave. You see the desire of God. We see the groping to God, the calling upon God. And that's the first aspect of the change right there, that we can see the evidence of change is the fruit. And the fruit is not necessarily speaking in another language. This fruit is one's action, one behavior, one's response to God, that the Spirit of God in him or her is causing them to do. Now, the feeling is another part, where the language part and all that is another part, is another gift. That is a gift. Paul teaches that in chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians. And it is powerful. Paul used that to pray. Paul used that to strengthen, to build up himself, and so on and so forth. So definitely that is powerful. We cannot leave out any aspect of God's gift.
I'd like to read something. It's about tongues. That's in 1 Corinthians 14. It's 14:18. It's Paul speaking. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet in the church, I would rather speak five words than with my understanding, that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brothers, do not be children in understanding, however, in malice be babes, but in understanding be mature. So, it also says that here somewhere, tongues also is assigned also to unbelievers. Because if you speak, most of speaking in tongues, unless you have the gift, it's the edification of yourself. And with the gift, I believe, it's like, you know, you edify in a church or, but you have to have someone there to interpret it.
Yes, because those are the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and so that's what's in. But in my understanding, and this is what I've experienced for myself. There's two things going on here. On the day of Pentecost, that initial, it said they were filled with other tongues and they began to speak as the Spirit of God gave them to utter. So that was the evidence of what was happening to them. That is why that the people in the that was around them was able to hear what was being said to them about Christ, because they were speaking in this unknown tongue to the people. And God used that as the evidence of the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit. That is the initial thing. Now, I know there's people, I've heard people testify that, you know, when they got filled with the Holy Ghost, they did not speak in tongues until sometime later. And that's because, but the reason why is because they kept asking God. They kept pursuing it. And then God began to answer their prayers. Now, then when you talk about the gift of tongues, as Elder Russell was just talking about, that's a different situation, because there's a gift of tongues, and the people that have that gift, the Bible tells us, pray that you may interpret to the edifying of the church. Because when you're in a congregation of people and begin to speak with other tongues, then you have to have an interpreter, otherwise it's to no avail.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why if that's your gift, then it also makes sense for a person to also pray that God give them the ability to interpret as well.
But, you know, also on the day of Pentecost, when they begin to speak, the reason why those people were amazed, because when the people were speaking in other languages, languages they possibly did not even know, but they spoke in the people's language that was around observing.
Exactly.
They spoke in a language. So when we say speak, there's other tongues, there's unknown tongues, but they were speaking in other tongues because the folks around them understood. They said they're speaking in our language, a language that they could interpret, that they knew, but not necessarily the person that was speaking it knew what they were saying. I've seen that happen many times. People, they speaking in, I was in a service once, and this man was speaking in, I guess he said it was India, because a guy came to church, and he, after service, he told him, "You speaking in my language," but the guy couldn't even speak Indian. The only way he was able to speak that, he was under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, and he spoke in another language that somebody understood what he was saying in their language. So sometimes we speak in other tongues, and sometimes we speak in unknown tongues. It's how the Holy Ghost works. I mean, hey, he's the boss.
It seems like we don't
moved on. What you saying there, Tulsa?
I said it seems like we done moved on from baptism, so we pray that everybody understands baptism, water baptism. And as I look at the clock, I don't know, Elder Bryson, this is your show, that we will be going into this subject then the weeks coming up.
Yes, because that's dealing with the gifts of the Spirit when you're talking about the gift of tongues. And if we want to stay with salvation.
Right, and this whole series, but I understood why it flowed this direction today. So it's necessary. But I think we will table this discussion because we do have a whole series about that, and we wanna talk about it in detail during that time because there is a difference in like Elder Timberlake was saying and Elder Russell was saying, there's differences there. And so those things people do have a question about, and so that is a separate teaching. And so, but we thank God for each and every one that contributed today, and even those that, you know, even if it may have sounded like we had differences of opinion, you know, we're here to address all of that, and that's the reason why we're having this class. And so what I would like to do at this time, I would like for Elder Timberlake to offer the hand of salvation today, and then I would like for Elder Dodson to pray us out because our time is, it runs out so quick. I looked up, I said, oh, my God, we are moving on quick. And so it looks like the time just goes so quick when we are really diving into the Word of God. But we thank God for everybody that will be listening to this broadcast that are listening right now and those that are on the line listening. And we thank God for those that will even listen later, as I always say. But I plead the blood of Jesus over everyone that is on this call. I plead the blood of Jesus, and that the enemy will not, because he'll try to attack, but he has no dominion over us. And we thank God for that. Because God has given us the power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And I thank God for that power that he has given us. And I thank God that he is going to do exceeding abundantly above all that any of you all could ask or think, and that the blessings of the Lord will come upon you, and they'll make you rich, and they will add no sorrow with it. So, Elder Timberlake, could you please do the invitation to Christ today?
If you've listened to us, the discussion tonight, and your heart has been pricked, we want to offer Jesus to you. He said if you would confess your faults, your sins, and if you believe that Jesus died for you and that he rose from the dead, the Bible says that you are saved. So if you're asking God to be your Savior tonight, let me recommend the best friend I know. If you've tried everything else and it has failed, you don't have to try everything, but things around you have failed, let me recommend someone that won't ever let you down. Somebody is always there. So if you will tonight, repeat after me, say, Jesus, come into my heart. I thank you for dying on the cross for me. Forgive me of my sins. I believe that you died for me and that you rose again that I might have the opportunity to eternal life. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. If you've said those words, then the Bible says that you are saved. Father God, I want to seal that confession today, God, for my brother and my sister who has accepted you as their Lord and Savior. God, help them to find a Bible-believing church so they can be taught in the direction that you would have them to go. Cover them from this day forth. For the angels in heaven are rejoicing. For these your children were lost and now have been saved. Thank you. They've been found today. For your glory, we give you honor and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Now, Lord, let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in thy sight. And all the people of God said, amen.
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 And good night.
Amen. We're going to tell you good night today, and we thank God for each and every one of you, and we look forward to being here this time next week. God bless you all.
God bless.